This is case number 21-1764, Vernitron Ventures against Google, LLC.
Okay, I am there.
Okay, proceed when ready.
Okay, so in this case, we are talking about a set of patents that have to do with when you add timescale modification to a system that doesn't have timescale modification. And the goal of the system, the goal of this, when you add this, is that you data time and presentation time need to be kept track of, because in prior systems, you only had one time value, and in order to sync up the audio and video, you needed two different time values. You need to know where you were in the stream once you speeded up the audio. So conceptually, what happens in the context of all of the patents in this family is that the audio is sped up. We believe in timescale modification, certainly in the context of the 050 patent, which calls out timescale modification, whereas the others do not. And so it's another reason why timescale modification is something different than just speeding up and slowing down. But all of the patents deal with, you sped up the audio, you do that processing first, and then you need both time values when you are displaying the information. So I will not, the first argument, of course, is the meaning of timescale modification that impacts claims 1 through 4, 8, 20, 25, 31, 32, 34, 36, 40 through 43, and 45. And it's our position that timescale modification should be interpreted as we have proposed, and that none of those claims are invalid in view of that construction. But there's a completely separate argument with regard to all of the patents in the 108 family, which is the subject of 1764. And that is that the board essentially read a limitation out of the claims in its entirety. So if we look at the claims themselves of the and any of the patents in this family, the board basically rewrote the claims by importing into the claims a construction of reading out during rendering, essentially. So they made the presentation time sort of from the beginning of the presentation, and they made the data time for just the portion, which is, it's always going to be. And so in the context of the Nelson reference, as we set forth in our papers, it is never the case that Nelson presents a unit when the data time and the presentation time are not equal. In order for Nelson to present anything, the data time and the presentation time must be equal in every embodiment. And that includes when you speed it up, because in the context of the Nelson reference, as Google's expert testified, you just make the clock go twice as fast. And so, but in all cases, then you're going to do multiplication, and the data time is always going to equal the presentation time when a unit is presented. And so in each of the claims, for example, the 050 patent, in each of them, they have a requirement that the data time parameter is not equal to the value of the presentation time. And so essentially what the board here has said, well, it doesn't matter if I'm sitting for 20 seconds. So let's take the example that at the beginning of the specification of the patents in this family. It says, if you present something that should be 60 seconds long, twice as fast, the presentation time is going to be 30 seconds, but the data time is going to be 60 seconds. And in the board's interpretation of Nelson, they said, well, presentation time is from the beginning of whenever the content starts being presented. So that means that if there is a 20-second gap, then the presentation time will be 80 seconds, even though nothing is being presented during that time. And so then when Nelson decides to present that unit, then they say, well, it's not equal. because now it's, so the presentation time has been 80 seconds, but the data time is a different value. But the problem with that is the claims, because the claims all require a portion. So it has to be, you have to be looking at data time and presentation time with regard to the same portion that is rendered. And so in the context of the 050 patent, for example, we look at the claim one, which is in column 23, starting at line 35. And it says the element A is maintaining a value of a presentation time parameter tangibly stored in a second computer medium and representing an amount of time elapsed during rendering of a portion of a temporal sequence presentation data. So the time has to be the time during rendering, not time sitting idle, not time just deleting segments as Nelson does. And then, in addition to that, you have to maintain a value of a data time parameter tangibly stored in a third computer medium and representing an amount of time representing rendering system to render the portion, the same portion. So this, the way that the board has read Nelson, it's not the same portion. It's either not the same portion or it's always equal. There is no case in Nelson where it actually, you either have, you can't satisfy both not equal and the same portions. And so it just does not practice the claim, any of the claims of the 903 family. And I don't think there's actually a great retort to this. The PTAB tried to explain it by saying, well, you can post, you can include things that happen after the information was presented. So you can look at, oh, those are still part of the sequence, but they were deleted. But that is not consistent with the claims. When the unit is deleted, it's no longer part of the portion. And so there is no embodiment in Nelson where data time and presentation time are not equal for a portion that is actually rendered. And the way in which the PTAB read read during rendering out of the claim was improper and inconsistent with the claim language. Now, I understand Google's going to say there's a definition of presentation time at the beginning of the specification, but we still have the claims control. And so that definition of presentation time at the beginning of the specification is, it's relating to, it doesn't preclude relating to a portion. So sure, it's the beginning of the content presentation, but in the context of the claims, the beginning of the content presentation has to be for a portion. And it has to be the same portion, and the data time and the presentation time must not be equal. And that is not satisfied by Nelson at all. And so I will reserve the rest of my time unless anyone has any questions.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Mr. Zalberger, apologies for not getting it straight.
No problem, Your Honor. May it please the court. The challenge patents specifically define the term presentation time. They provide at Appendix 221, column 2, lines 1 to 4, that presentation time is a time elapsed since the beginning of the media content presentation. All the during rendering clause provides is that it keys the presentation time and the data time parameters to the same media work. You have a single media presentation at a given time. You're going to start the presentation. It's going to be proceeding. And the during rendering clause ensures that the presentation time and the data time are measuring that same presentation. And I think Dr. Bonsole made this absolutely clear at his deposition. We asked him what the during rendering clause means. And at Appendix 1508, this is page 70, lines 13 to 18 of his deposition transcript, we asked him what during rendering means in the claim. And he said it was, quote, during the presentation. So during would be the duration from beginning to end, and rendering would be synonymous with presentation. That's matches precisely with the definition from the specification of the patents that I just read. The specification further makes clear that things like presentation delays that might happen in the middle of a presentation are in fact accounted for by the presentation time parameter. For one, the patents talk about this concept of a cumulative rendition period. They say that's one way to calculate a presentation time. And what's interesting is that the patents provide that the cumulative rendition period might not just be the sum of its parts. It might not equal just the time it takes to present one presentation unit, another one, another one, another one. They say it could take into account some other factors. And that makes sense in light of Dr. Schoenfeld's testimony. Dr. Schoenfeld explained at Appendix 1974 to 1975 that it's actually more often than not the case that when you're presenting media like this in a streaming scenario where things are coming from a server to a client, that you'll have delays. That, you know, things will usually take a little bit longer than you expect them to take. And then when we confronted Dr. Bonsalet with this portion of the specification, he couldn't exclude that delays were taken into account by these other factors that are referenced in the specification, and he simply threw up his hands. He said he couldn't really understand what the inventors were talking about. That's at Appendix 1470 to 1472. Further to that, Brentum's interpretation of the claims would mean that data time and presentation time are always the same if timescale modification has not happened, regardless of the definition of timescale modification. The specification, again, rejects that understanding. At Appendix 228, column 16, lines 44 to 50, the specification provides that in a traditional player, these two times, that's presentation time and data time, are the same. But in a player capable of variable speed playback, or simply capable of differentiating between data time and presentation time, those two values are in general different. Again, when we asked Dr. Bonsalet to reconcile Brentum's construction with that portion of the specification, he said it's not obvious what the inventors were thinking of at the time when they wrote this. That's at Appendix 1496 to 1497. In any event, I think there's a very big gradient between what Brentum is arguing, saying scenarios where, say, there's a 20-second pause in a presentation, and what Nelson actually teaches. When Nelson talks about presentation units that come late, that they might get deleted, that's in the context of an ongoing presentation. And Nelson makes absolutely clear that presentation units, when they arrive late, they might be arrived too late to present, but that data is still processed because the data in those presentation units still might affect the presentation of subsequent units, because the way modern systems work, you're not gonna kind of just have the data for a given presentation at a single time. The data interacts with each other. So data from a previous presentation unit affects subsequent presentation. And Dr. Bonsalet and Dr. Schoenfeld agreed on that point. Dr. Bonsalet's testimony is at Appendix 1548, page 110, lines 19 to 25, where he explained or he agreed that these deleted presentation units, it's not really, deleted is almost a misnomer, that they arrive late, so they're not themselves presented, but the data in them is still processed. And Dr. Schoenfeld likewise testified at Appendix 1968. And you can see that also in Nelson itself, in Appendix D of Nelson, it's Appendix D of Nelson, it's Appendix 1342 in the joint appendix, where Nelson refers to either consume and present or consume and process. So deleted presentation units, they're consumed and processed rather than consumed and presented, but the data is still actually processed. So if there are some outlier scenarios where maybe you could have a system that data comes in 20 seconds after the fact, the user's long gone, it's after the presentation is done, could that be a scenario that's not included in claims? I don't know. But Nelson is not that case. Nelson is a case where data is constantly coming in. There'd be fractions of seconds where these come slightly too late, but the data is still used. It's still an ongoing presentation, and the reference time base in Nelson still measures the presentation time. I would also note that there is no dispute that Nelson's calculated parameters and embedded parameters are, in fact, the data time. And in fact, it's eerily similar to what the specification in the challenge patents teach, where the specification talks about how data time can be explicit or derivable at Appendix 225, column 9, lines 33 to 39, that lines up precisely with Nelson's technique of having either a calculated or embedded parameter that lines up with the data time. If your honors have no further questions, I'm happy to return the remainder of my time.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Mora.
Sorry, I was muted. I apologize for that.
Okay, let's proceed.
So I'm going to go back to the claim itself because that's what we have to look at when we talk about this. So what I just heard from Google's counsel was presentation time is just a clock. It starts running when you start the presentation, and it just keeps going. And there's no dispute that the only time that Nelson actually presents a unit is when the data time, when the clock lines up and it says, I was expecting this unit at 1 minute. If it's there at 1 minute, then I will present it. If it is late, I do not present it. It does not get rendered. So I just heard a lot about there's some processing that happens and something happens to the data, but it does not get rendered. That is not disputed. So when we go to the claim itself, this is about, and also there's nothing about maintaining that value. It's not stored anywhere. It's just, we look at the clock. Is it on time? Present it. If it's not on time, delete it. It might get processed in some other way, but it's not rendered. And so when we look at the claim itself, and I'm now in appendix 283, which is 903 claim 1, column 27, starting at lines 19. So it's a method performed by at least one machine for rendering temporal sequence presentation data in a machine-implemented rendering system. The temporal sequence presentation data is tangibly stored in a first computer medium, and then it is comprised of maintaining the value of the presentation time parameter tangibly stored in a second computer readable medium and representing an amount of time elapsed during rendering of a portion. Not since the beginning of time, during rendering of a portion. And then, when you go down to element C, now you have to maintain a second value. The second value is a data time parameter tangibly stored in the third computer readable memory, which we didn't hear anything about either, and rendering the amount of time required to render the portion, the same portion, the amount of time required to render the same portion that was actually rendered, the antecedent basis for portion, and storing that value in a machine-readable memory. And then the final element is wherein the value of the presentation time parameter is not equal to the value of the data time parameter. So that is completely contrary to Nelson, that only renders units when the data time and the presentation time are equal. And it does not render units when they are not, and it does not store these values. In fact, what we just heard was that the value of the presentation time is just a clock that keeps on ticking since the beginning of the presentation. And so it is very different from the claims of the invention, and this applies to all of the claims in the 903 family. And in appeal number
17, 60 votes. I believe we have the argument. Do you need another minute or so for the last word?
The last word is time scale modification. and what I just say there is, I think Google, even though they didn't advocate it as their claim construction, and they relied on statements from prior counsel as the primary basis for their claim construction, of another patent in another case involving other parties, Google has been unequivocally clear in this litigation in its unprompted invalidity contentions as to its understanding of what timescale modification means to a person of ordinary skill in the art. And that's what we're here to do. It's a technical term. It's a term that has a meaning. It's like saying if you didn't put a definition of semiconductor in a patent, you wouldn't go look and see what a semiconductor is. For audio signal processing, timescale modification has a defined meaning. There is nothing other than saying, yes, the specification says we speed up and slow down. Of course it speeds up and slows down. That's part of it. But when you say timescale modification as opposed to fast forward, as set forth in the 433 patent and the other references that are cited in Fonsalit, you're talking about a technique that tries to preserve things as intelligible. And that is timescale modification. We will acknowledge that when it was unprompted in its own limited
contentions. Thank you. Thanks to all counsel, Mr. Murray, Mr. Zalberg, and Mr. Modi. The case is taken under submission. That concludes this panel's arguments for this morning.